When we look at Proverbs chapter 10, we can look at that and say, hey, I failed here, but I am not condemned. I fell short in this area, and I am not forsaken. There is no condemnation. You won't be held to eternal accountability for this. And at the same time, it is something that God says, hey, listen, when you live, I want you to live this way, as any loving parent would do. I wanted to have this focus on this message for a purpose this morning. I did a funeral earlier this week for a 93-year-old man who had been a believer for most of his life. He was baptized in one church, and then he went to another church for decades, and then another church after that, serving God throughout all these years. And yet, in the final years of his life, he confessed to his daughters often, I don't know that I have been good enough. I don't think I have done enough. Doubt overwhelmed his mind. And I'm here to tell you, we can't be good enough. That's the miracle of the gospel. You can't. So as we read through Proverbs chapter 10, and you see, oh yeah, I failed at that. Yes, you did. Good. Me too. Everybody else too. Except Jesus. Jesus is the wise one. We are to become like the wise one. This is do it better next time. Not that you've done it perfectly your whole life. We cannot be good enough. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot earn God's grace. What we see here is different. These are instructions that we have from a loving father on how to live life well. Anyone who's ever given instructions to children know that they get 50% of it at best. You have to be happy if they got 70%. You've got to be ecstatic if they're pushing 80%. If they've listened to your instructions, great. If they haven't, you still love them and you smack them on the head. These are the instructions we hear from a loving father on how to live life well. And that's been the plea of Solomon. How to live the life that you were given and live it well. These are the behaviors that God wants to produce in us as we walk through our lives as Christians. The goal of God in you is to conform you to the image of Christ. In theology land, we call that being sanctified. Being sanctified, to be made to look like Jesus. Proverbs is a book of sanctification. You're not going to get it all right. But it reveals to us areas of our lives where we fall short, and that's important. You can't know that you're falling short if you're the only one talking. It helps us to understand how we can change. I hope that this chapter reveals areas to you where you are foolish and sinful. But remember the goal of Solomon, the goal of God in preserving this text for you for thousands of years was not to condemn you in this moment, but to say, go to Jesus. We're going to help you. He is the only way. If you see some of these things in your life that are foolish, it might reveal to you that you are worshiping something or someone, that you are idolizing something or someone more than Jesus. It might even be that you've idolized yourself. Much of Proverbs deals with the idolization, the fact that you are worshiping in yourself your own comfort, your own identity, your own pride, your money, You become the idol. And Solomon wants to be very careful about that. We want to be careful of that. So God teaches us wisdom so that we might have the best life possible and so that we might find true happiness that lasts forever because he loves you now. Because if you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord, he loves you now. And even if you haven't, he loves you now in spite of your rejection of him. He wants good things for us, and so he gives us Proverbs chapter 10. As we read this chapter, and I'm going to ask Damon to come up. He's going to read it for us. Yes? Good? Yeah, well, in like 30 seconds, so if you'll prepare yourself for walking up. As we read this chapter, it's going to seem like we're all over the place. We're going to hit all of the topics. Because that's what sanctification is. And I'm learning in my Thursday morning meetings with my grandpa, that is what talking to any old guy is. You talk about everything that there is to talk about in the world. We're going to deal with situations in every area of your life. Everything comes up here. In Proverbs chapter 10. And then he hits it again for the next 21 chapters. Again and again. It's every area of your life, all of the things, becoming more like Jesus in every facet of who you are. Solomon echoes God's instruction from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. These are the words that I'm giving you today to be in your heart. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. So next week I expect some new tattoos. But very practically, God's word, his way of life for us, is supposed to be something that we talk about all the time. It's supposed to be something that we discuss with our family all the time. It's supposed to be on your doorpost, on your wall. We've got some people here that do some vinyl graphics if you want new signage in your house. We got people that do that. And I've taken advantage of that. Literally, putting scripture everywhere, making it a part of all of the things. And Solomon talks like any old guy would talk about everything all at once. Because we need to talk about your relationships. We need to talk about your mouth. We need to talk about your money. We need to talk about your work. We need to talk about the way you treat the poor. We need to talk about the way that you interact with others. We need to talk. We're going to talk about all of it. Please, Damon, will you come? For Proverbs chapter 10.
A couple of words are different.
Can you hear me? All right. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son gives joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. Ill-gotten treasures profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Adonai will not let a righteous soul go hungry, but thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart accept commands, but a babbling fool comes to ruin. One who walks in integrity walks securely, but one who takes crooked paths will be discovered. One who winks an eye maliciously causes grief, while a babbling fool comes to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers up all transgressions. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of one lacking sense. Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool is near ruin. The wealth of a rich man is a strong city. Poverty is the ruin of the poor. The wages of the righteous are life. The income of the wicked is sin. One who heeds discipline is on the path of life, but whoever ignores correction goes astray. One who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. When words abound, transgression is unavoidable, but whoever restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is a little value. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. The blessing of Adonai brings wealth to he who adds no trouble with it. As doing wickedness is delight to a fool, so is wisdom to a man of discernment. What the wicked dread will fall on them. The desire of the righteous will be given. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked are no more, but the foundation of the righteous is everlasting. Like vinegar to the teeth or smoke to the eyes, so is a slacker to those who send him. The fear of Adonai prolongs life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hope of the wicked perishes. The way of Adonai is a stronghold to the upright, but it is a ruin to those who do evil. The righteous will never be uprooted, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous bears the fruit of wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is pleasing, but the mouth of the wicked is perverse.
Again, that is kind of birdshot, all of the things all at once. There's so much there included in these passages of Scripture. But what we see, what we can see, if you were to study this out and to break things down, is that Jesus, in wisdom, wants to produce in you wisdom. In you, Jesus wants to produce wisdom when it comes to your finances and your work. In you, Jesus wants to produce wisdom when it comes to your mouth. In you, Jesus wants to produce wisdom when it comes to your relationships. In you, Jesus wants to produce wisdom that leads to rewards and eternity. Jesus produces wisdom, and he wants to do that in you. In this chapter, Solomon expresses that a lazy person is going to struggle. He tells us that if you will work, if you'll go to work, if you'll actually do the stuff and finish the job, God is going to take care of you. Very simple concept. If you've hung out with me any amount of time, I have a much shorter way to say this. And it's not always kind. Take yourself to work. That solves so many issues. But we see problems in this all the time. People can't get to work on time. They can't stay. They're full of agreed upon shift. They want more money, but they're going to work less. We see it time after time after time, especially as you enter into any sort of realm of managing the world and people in it, you find that nobody, and this is cliche, nobody really wants to do the thing that they agreed to do. And we could all say nobody wants to work. Maybe that's fair. But if you have decided to take the job, then you wanted to work. At least you wanted the reward of the work. Step two is to do it. When you have the obligation to follow through with it. There will be times in life where you are overwhelmed. There are times in your life where you will fall short in those areas. But you should have an account built up so well with those others in relationship with you, with the people at your job, with the people that you work for or with or under or whatever, where that one time that it doesn't work out, those sparing times that you have to do the whatever, they look at you and say, oh yeah, this never happens. You're good. And it's not even a question. When we think of laziness, we think of somebody binged out on a couch, eating bonbons and watching another Netflix show. And we know some people like that. We know that that can happen in life. I've never been able to do it. But here, Solomon says that it's more than that. It's inaction. It's failure to finish. It's a son who goes out and plants the field, and then when harvest comes, is nowhere to be found. Which is more important? Neither. You got to plant and harvest. Otherwise, you're not taking anything home. It doesn't work. If you go to work every day but then leave 20 minutes after getting there, in a week, you've got 1 hour. You haven't done anything. Failing to finish, inaction, not seeing things through. Laziness looks like allowing distractions to take you away from the tasks at hand. And we struggle with this. I struggle with this. It's becoming more and more prevalent the more activity we have in the world. I envy old guys who didn't have television. I was talking about this 93-year-old fellow. He's lived through the development of that stuff. The inventions of all of these things. You know how much more the world could accomplish if we didn't have things like Facebook? And I know individuals can say, hey, I don't, and whatever. But as a society, where would we be? If Netflix was still something you had to mail in for. Everybody remember that? You used to, like, you had a list, and then you would get a DVD, and then they'd mail you the DVD, and then when you mailed that DVD back, you'd get the next DVD. That's what Netflix used to be. Laziness keeps you from being able to provide for your family. Or the ability to have a family. Divorce is caused so often because of finances. And finances are a problem, not because you can't get a good job, but because you won't keep any job. Because even if you started as the cashier, you can move up in any environment if you wanted to. If you will work, Solomon says, this is the promise of God, if you will work, God will take care of you. It may not be the way that you want. It may not be the things that you want. It may not be the shiny new red car. It might be the busted up old white truck. It might not be the food that you thought you was going to have. I'm trying to use like ambiguous things, but I'm realizing I pointed out somebody's truck. And I'm not realizing it. People are pointing at him. That's not fair. But it might be that. It might be a simpler life than you ever dreamed you might have. And yet you will go to bed full. And that food might come from people in the church who are showing up with some zucchini that you didn't know you liked. It might be some supply that you didn't know that you were going to receive from people that you didn't know were going to give it. It might be your paycheck. But if you will do the things, the promise of Solomon in Proverbs, and therefore the promise of God in Holy Scripture, it is if you will go to work, He will not let you go hungry. Consider the lilies and the sparrows. God wants to produce wisdom in your work and in your finances. And that doesn't mean that it's always going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. But if you will take from Proverbs these behaviors, and you will say, I'm going to work when I said I am going to work. And I'm going to be there on time, and I'm going to work the hours that I've agreed to work. Then you will be okay. God wants to produce wisdom in your work and in your finances. I've heard stories told of others in our church. When I lost my job a few months ago, and the encouraging words I heard from others were these. That happened to us, and we were okay. God took care of us. We didn't miss a payment. This happened, and this is it, and it played out like this. It was better because of this. I was able to do this. I didn't know this was going to be the way, but it was because God walked with me, and I did my part. I was wise in that. God wants to produce wisdom in your work and in your finances. We see that here in Proverbs chapter 10. God wants to produce wisdom in your mouth. And who would say that they think this is talking to them? God wants to produce wisdom in your mouth. A wise heart accepts commands, but foolish lips will be destroyed. The ESV and the version that Damon read from earlier calls those people babbling fools. Babbling fools. I like to say that person is talking out of their rear end. You got two ways of talking. One is wisdom and the other toxic gas we should avoid. All of us think that we're right. That's the reason that we have the opinions that we have. We didn't form an opinion and say, this is a wrong opinion. I'm going to keep it anyway. We don't get to that point, right? But a fool refuses to hear anyone else. A fool refuses to let anyone else speak. We have to know. You have to know. Solomon tells you, you might not know everything. And if you can't learn, if you are the only one talking, you're a fool, and you'll stay a fool. And there are consequences for that action. Wisdom is being able to receive advice and instruction humbly, and to shut your doggone mouth. Wisdom is often just to shut up and listen. If you are one who loves to hear the sound of your own voice and speak more than you listen, you're probably a fool. Proverbs 13, verse 3 says, the one who guards his mouth protects his life. The one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. What does that mean? The more you talk, the more likely you are to sin. People who talk a lot sin a lot. You invite instruction. If you have to be talking, if you have to fill the air with your resonance, there might be a problem. The more you talk, the more likely something stupid is going to come out of your mouth. And that's just the truth of Solomon. That's what Solomon says. God wants to produce wisdom in your mouth. It's all over the book of Proverbs. He wants to share with us, hey, speak less. Listen more. Heed wisdom. Ask questions and receive advice. And do that humbly. Jesus humbled himself completely. The book of Hebrews describes Jesus humbling himself to death, even death on the cross. And that was so excruciating that that's the way we get the word excruciating. If you do a word study, that's the excruciating comes from the crucifixion of Jesus. We define pain and extremeness on that. And Jesus wanted nothing more than to do the will of the Father, to listen to what the Father wanted him to do, to say the things the Father wanted him to say. God wants to produce wisdom in your mouth. And again, often that is just to tell us, hey, stop. There are specifics throughout this chapter. It says the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Our mouths are our problems. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but the rod is for the back of one who lacks sense. Listen, if you can't listen, punishment is coming. Life is going to be painful. How many of you would say, hey, I've been through some situations that if I would have listened to somebody else, I could have avoided a whole lot of pain? Me. If I'd have just listened. If I'd have just shut up for a few minutes. God wants to produce wisdom in our mouths. God wants to produce wisdom in the area of your relationships. God wants to produce wisdom in your relationships, not just in the relationship with your spouse, in all of your relationships. And this ties together your work, your money, your mouth. All of those things play into the way that you interact with the world. The way that you treat others is supremely important to the Lord. It is addressed time after time in the book of Proverbs. Whether you are the kind of person who loves your neighbor or makes fun of them reveals whether you are wise or a fool. Whether or not you can keep a secret reveals whether you are wise or are a fool. And we know how that goes. Someone comes up to you and tells you something that they have to get off their chest because it's weighing them down. It's so painful in their lives. And you hold that secret for a solid 15 minutes. And then you got to call somebody. Listen, if you tell me, I'm going to tell my wife. I need you to know that. Unless it is in pastoral confidence, I'm probably going to share that with my wife. There are a lot of things that happen church-wise that I don't do that. But otherwise, think of us, we're one person. You told me, you told her, right? And I consider you that way. Know that. If I tell you, I hope that I'm also telling your spouse. That's the way I think about it. Sometimes communication doesn't always happen. And you'll find out that if you told me something that you wanted Eden to know, I probably forgot before I told her. And so she doesn't actually know. So if it's like dates, numbers, facts, appointments, things like that, direct to the source. Skip me on that. Send us an email invite to something. But if it's something that's like, hey, this, like, the kids got engaged, I'm going to tell my wife. As soon as you tell me, I'm going to tell my wife. This is cool. This is the thing. We're going to share that. But the way that you treat others is incredibly important. And when you can't keep secrets, it hurts other people. And we know, you told them not to tell, so they're not going to tell, right? Except they took it and they said, oh, this is heavy. I got to tell Dan. I got to share it. Because it's too heavy for just me. And then all of a sudden, everyone that you know knows what you know, and they know who you know. And it's gone all the way around. And the person who told you is now not only dealing with the pain that they had originally. The reason they told you is it was painful. But now they also have the pain of everyone knows and they think of me differently. Now, in a perfect church, that's not a problem, because everybody in the church then would just say, yeah, we know, and we're praying for you. We have grace for you. We have abundance of love for you. And all you're going to receive from us is $20 a piece in a card of comfort and love, because we know what you're going through. But that's not what's going to happen, because we're all fallen people. We all need more of this in our lives. And so what happens is what you're afraid of is going to happen. And that's that people are going to think and feel of you differently. The way that you treat others matters incredibly to the Lord. Jesus wants to produce wisdom in your relationships so that we might get to a place where you can take care of people, where you can honestly love people, where you honor your parents, where you respond well to the needy, where it matters to you who and how you are dating and marrying in the world. All of those things matter to the Lord. And they reveal where you are with Jesus. If you'll openly accept any relationship just because that person said that they were available, that reveals a whole lot about your relationship with the Lord. You don't find sufficiency there. You don't find love there. All of those things matter. And the first verse of this chapter tells us that the way that you behave affects those around you. That's really fun. There is an emotional, physical, and spiritual consequence to those around you for your foolishness. Did you know that? It's an incredible thing. The way that you act affects those around you. Your parents, specifically mentioned here. But I will say, from a position of experience, your children, your friends, your coworkers, your foolish behavior affects them. Your church members. If you get arrested in a Calvary Foursquare t-shirt, we've all got a problem. There's going to be an issue. It affects all of us. Being a person of wisdom brings those people honor. But being a person of foolishness brings them disgrace. It specifically says, a wise son brings joy to his father. How cool is it to see people that you know and love doing awesome things? It's so exciting. How devastating is it to see people that you have poured your life into acting stupid in the world? Crushing. All those years of effort I wasted on that stupid person. And people saw us hanging out. They've got my last name. They know that I work with them. They know that I tolerate them at my dinner table, that I celebrated who they were. They know, and now I'm an idiot too. Being a person of wisdom brings them honor. Being a person of foolishness brings them disgrace. Specifically, specifically mentioned parents. But this can happen from parents to children if you're out in the world acting foolish. Your kids bear the price of that. Your friends bear the price of that. So much of this chapter covers relationships because Jesus wants wisdom there. He wants you walking in a way that produces wisdom. He wants you growing closer to him in wisdom so that you might have a desire for more wisdom. The son who gathers during the summer is prudent. The son who sleeps during harvest is disgraceful. It's disgraceful to others. In a modern context, the son who blossoms and goes off into the world is doing great. The son who lives in the parents' basement forever and refuses to work is a disgrace. There are different circumstances that allow for cohabitation, but the reality is young men should not be 35 living off their parents. You shouldn't be. I hope that my daughters live at my house until they're married. Maybe. I don't know. Some of them. It's only one in the room, so. So much of this chapter covers relationships because it matters. You can go all the way through, I think it's like 12 through 18 or something. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all offenses. Mixed in there is wisdom that you need to have in your mouth and the way that you talk, but it covers so much of this. It's very, very important. And Jesus wants to produce wisdom in your relationship, and he also wants to produce wisdom that leads to eternity. Proverbs tells us, it reveals to us time after time in a very practical way, in a way that we would understand, in a way that would hope to draw our desire, our earthly, worldly desire. Proverbs says there are rewards coming. There is stuff coming. Proverbs tells us that there are rewards for wisdom and consequences for foolishness. Proverbs 10:24 says, what the wicked dreads will come to him, but what the righteous desire will be given to them. If you are righteous, you're good. But if you are foolish, your fears will come to pass. If you are afraid of a poor reputation, so you avoid people, you have the reputation of a weirdo who avoids people. That breeds foolishness. If you're mean to people to keep them at a distance, your fears are going to be revealed very quickly to you. If you are afraid of hell, hell is coming quickly for those not in Christ. But if you will do the things, if you will walk in wisdom, if you are wise and righteous through Christ, you will get what you desire. And here's the trick. God gives you the desires of your heart. Yes and amen. The trick is that if you are wise, your desires will no longer be for pleasure. Your desires won't be for worldly things. They won't be for that new lifestyle. Your desires will become a desire for eternal life, a desire for a strong marriage, a desire for a godly family, a desire for a strong reputation, a desire for a good name, a desire for a community around you, a desire for a strong church in your community, a desire for God to do work here. If you are wise, you will desire those things, and those things you will receive, according to the book of Proverbs. We have to understand, it may come now in this life, or it may come in the next. We also should know that, hey, in some of this, there are some earthly rewards. God does take care of us. We don't have to worry about stuff. And the Apostle Paul said, hey, I know how to be rich. I know how to be poor. There are seasons of that where we will have abundance and have scarcity. But if we can put our trust in the Lord and be wise. Verse 25 says, the righteous are established forever. Eternity comes for the righteous. Consequences are now and later. Consequences can last forever. Reading through Proverbs can be very discouraging. My hope again is that you as you listen to demand, as you read through this scripture yourself, as you see it on the screens, as you go home and study this out, that you don't see it as discouraging, but it can be. Because we count our failures and our shortcomings, and you should, to some regard. You should see the way that you have affected others with your words. You should see where you have fallen short and shared secrets and ignored advice. You should see the areas of your life where you didn't listen, where you were lazy. And reading through all of this can be very discouraging because we think about how often we have been the fool and the toll that it has taken because it is heavy. If you count the cost of your stupidness, it would be great. And the toll that it will take, not just what you've paid already, but the consequences of your actions on your future. But if we read this rightly, in the way that it was meant by a loving Father, we should come to a different understanding. Jesus wants me to change. Yes, He called me as I am. But He wants me to be wise next time. Next time I have the opportunity to do this. Next time I'm in a situation where I can either speak or listen, He wants me to shut up for a minute. To measure my words. He wants me to be wise next time. And He will help me do that. He called me as I was, exactly the person that I was when He called me. But He called me so that I would become who He is, not a more solid version of myself, not a rock hard Adam Johnson, but a picture of Jesus. And that is the goal here of Proverbs chapter 10. In some ways, it looks like you're talking to an old guy who jumped from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing and solved all the world's problems before breakfast was over and told you exactly how to live your life, who you ought to marry, how you ought to talk to your friends, the way you ought to go to work, and why didn't you do that already? Yes. Yes. But you should see in that the love of a father who says, I want you to do better. And you can next time. You can in the next thing. You should try because I've called you to be like Jesus. And that is our goal. As we head home from this trip of vacationing in Proverbs, knowing and understanding that this all comes from the loving voice of Jesus. We have to know He called me as I was to become who He is. And so we have Proverbs 10. Today is also August 10th. So if you have been doing this in your life already, great. But if not, today's a great day to start. We have read together Proverbs 10. The rest of the book of Proverbs goes through these short sayings that deal with, hey, this is how you ought to live your life. This is the way that you ought to handle your children. This is the way that you ought to deal with your wife. This is the way that you ought to go to work. This is the way that you ought to live life. This is how you should harvest your food. This is how you should plant. This is when you should handle things. My challenge to you as your pastor is to say, tomorrow, starting tomorrow and going through the end of August, which has 31 days, read a chapter of Proverbs every day, starting with chapter 11. We have studied in depth 1 through 9. Study for yourself tomorrow, chapter 11. It is 31 verses. And again, all sorts of things. It talks about gossip. It talks about dishonesty. It talks about wisdom. It's good. My encouragement, my challenge for you is to study that. We're going to be sending out some text messages over the next few days to remind you to do that. We're going to say, hey, tomorrow, study Proverbs chapter 11. Read it for yourself. Talk about it with your family. Study it together. Challenge your kids. Challenge your mama. Hey, did you know the Bible says this? It might mean that the way you treated your sister wasn't that nice. Or it might mean that I need to shut up. Maybe. Could be any number of things. As you deal with those scriptures together in your house, we carry on the legacy of Solomon, teaching ourselves and our children good things. Good? Let's pray. God, we fall short on a regular basis of all of the things that you've called us to do. God, I fall short. In our relationships, we fail often to be as wise, compassionate, and merciful as you have been to us. God, in the way that we have talked to others, we have failed a great deal in being kind and humble. We have failed often in being loving and caring. We have failed to listen and heed wisdom. God, in our work, we have fallen short in showing up when necessary, in fulfilling the obligations that we have been given. We have failed. Lord, forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive us of the things that we have done. Help us to forgive others and to walk forward into the next time. God, I am thankful that you sent your Son to die on the cross to pay the price for all of my sins. The ones that I committed in the 90s and the ones that I'll commit in the next 90s. God, we thank you for that. We give you glory for that. God, as we go about the rest of our lives, please help us to be people of wisdom. Help us to be marked by people as people of wisdom. Help us to honor you and to share you well with the people around us. God, I ask for your grace in all of that. Lord, we ask for provision and healing as we continue to deal with problems with our health, as we continue to deal with shortcomings in our finances. We trust in you for all of that. We ask for blessings to pour out on each household that calls this place their church and gives you glory here. We thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious.